So by the practice of bhakti, if the conflict, if we can overcome desire and focus on the pure intention, if after many years this has not happened, then what can we do? See, first of all, as devotees, a devotee desires, but a devotee does not demand. Prabhupada writes in the 12th canto purport in the Kardamuni pastime that, you know, the devotee desires the darshan of the Lord, but the devotee doesn't demand the darshan of the Lord. Similarly, as devotees, we desire purity. We want to be pure hearted, but we don't demand Krishna. We need to want this. The desire definitely has to be there for purity, but not demanding. Now, what can happen for us by the practice of bhakti is that the intention will become stronger and stronger. The circumstantial propositions, they will keep coming, but they will become weaker and weaker. We will not be so inclined toward them. In the purport of 2.17, Apuryamana Machala Pratishtam, Samudra Mahapa Pravishanthi, Tadat Kamaya Pravishanthi Sarva, Sashanti Mahapnoti Na Kama Kama. Krishna is saying that just as rivers enter into an ocean, but the ocean is not disturbed. Similarly, desires enter into the consciousness of the advanced spiritualist, but they are not agitated. So this is, there Prabhupada writes that the desires may come, but the inclination to fulfill the desires is no longer. So this is a very interesting verse, because normally we consider desires as flowing outwards. So I see an object and I desire to eat. I desire to eat, I desire to watch, I desire to touch. So desires flow outwards from us to the object. But here Krishna is talking about desires flowing outward, inwards from the object to us. Like also the river is flowing into the ocean. So he's talking about the desires flowing from outside to inside. And he uses the word na kama kama. Na kama kami means one who is not the desirer of desire. Not the desirer of desire. What that means is, from outside the desire flows in, that means say the temptation comes in, you see some object. But there is no desire that is generated with it. I want this. Yeah, I see it, it's good, but I'm not interested. So that, as we keep practicing bhakti, the circumstantial desire will become lesser and lesser. And the core intention becomes stronger and stronger. But Krishna does say that for most of us, we should be ready to resist the temptations throughout our life. Shaknoti paivaya sorum prak sharir vimokshana kama krodhodva vandetam sayuktasya sukhi naraha. That Krishna tells Arjuna that shaknoti paivaya sorum sarvorum tolerate. Tolerate the force of desire and anger. Kama krodhot pavam vegam. Till what point? Prak sharir vimokshanat. Till the time we give up this body. As long as the body is there, certain desires will be generated from the body. But if you can tolerate them, sa yukta sukhina raha. Which a person yukta will be situated, well connected, well situated in yoga, and that person will be happy. So over a period of time, you know, as long as we identify with the circumstantial proposition that is coming. I enjoy this. No, I'm not going to enjoy this. As long as we identify with the circumstantial proposition, saying no to it seems like deprivation. And it becomes more difficult. But the more we become practiced, in more seasoned in the practice of bhakti, the more we identify with the core intention. Rather than saying, oh, I have to give up this for this, I have to give up this enjoyment for practicing bhakti. Gradually, as you keep practicing bhakti, you start realizing, oh, we actually for this enjoyment, I have to give up this. And bhakti itself becomes, it's not that in devotion, we are always dancing in ecstasy. But when we are practicing bhakti, there is a sublime peace. It's a deep sense of purposeful fulfillment that is there. Because I am doing something meaningful in my life. I am doing something fruitful in my life. So, with that understanding, then we start seeing worldly indulgence as deprivation. Initially, we see giving up worldly indulgence, we see worldly abstinence as deprivation of sensual pleasure. But later on, we start seeing indulgence as deprivation of spiritual fulfillment. That much time, I'm getting disconnected from Krishna. I'm missing out on the joy of connecting with Krishna. Why should I do it? So when that happens, then even if the desires come, we won't be so tempted. So rather than thinking about, oh, is it that lifelong I'll have to tolerate this? No, we can just see it as this moment I have to decide what should I do. And if we just keep saying no at each moment, life will go on. What happens is if I have to carry this Bhagavatam, you know, for maybe 1 minute, then 5 minutes, it's okay. But if I have to think I have to carry this lifelong, shh, better put it down right away. So like that, if you think that, you know, I'll have to keep fighting these desires lifelong, then that will dishearten us. So yes, at an intellectual level, we understand that the desires may keep coming, I may have to keep fighting. But at a practical level, you have to think that the battle is simply moment to moment. At this moment, if I choose Krishna, that is all that I need to do throughout my life. It's only when we think, oh, I have to renounce lifelong, then it becomes, how can I do it? How can I keep battling lifelong? Let's focus on this moment. This moment, can I choose Krishna? Next moment, yes, I can choose Krishna. Next moment, I can choose Krishna. So that way, the choosing of Krishna, if we keep doing, then saying no becomes much easier over here. We will still have to say no, but saying no becomes much easier. Does that answer the question? Thank you very much. Gantra Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Aurabhata.